The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
A very good Thursday afternoon to you, Rolien.
A very good Thursday afternoon to you too, one Gary Bromberg.
For a third day, Israel's south has been in a state of high alert. We know that security assessments are ongoing. What are the latest developments here, Rolien?
Well, as you just said, the South continues to be in a state of high alert. In fact, Prime Minister Lapid has cancelled his scheduled vacation to the north of the country because of the situation. Earlier today, the Ramatkal, the IDF chief of staff, toured the border with Gaza. He requested an increase in the amount of preparedness, and just a couple of moments ago, the chief of the military's Gaza division told residents of towns near the Gaza Strip that road closures in the area will last as long as necessary. He says forces of the Gaza division have been on high alert in recent days. We have detected Islamic Jihad intentions to commit acts against residents and soldiers, and therefore we have placed checkpoints throughout the area. The roadblocks will continue as long as necessary. Now, earlier today as well, Defense Minister Benny Gantz instructed security officials to prepare various civilian and military measures in order to remove the threat of a PRJ and a prospective attack. He met with the top echelons, the top security and military officials, and he's also asked them to assist residents of towns along the border, some of which are locked down entirely due to movement restrictions, and to continue to assess the situation as it continues. And this morning, I-24 News reporting that a senior Palestinian Islamic Jihad official threatened to attack the center of Israel. Now, I'm in the center of Israel, and so far no iron domes have appeared in Modi'in, which we normally take as a sign that we're not under any immediate threat. But I will ask everybody to just to consider the situation for our tens of thousands of residents of the South who live in the line of fire every single day. And at a time like this of increased alert, the amount of anxiety, of PTSD, of trauma that people experience, having basically lived now for several decades without respite from threats coming from the Gaza Strip. Israel has increased air preparedness around the South. Iron Dome batteries have been rolled out. We do have planes and armed drones in the sky. We do have a presence of tanks and artillery units should any shots be fired. However, at the moment, we haven't had any reprisal attacks coming from the Gaza Strip, but the military trusts their intelligence and they're not letting down guard for a second. And just to reiterate, this high alert comes in the wake of an arrest of the head of Palestinian Islamic Jihad when the IDF conducted counter-terror operations in Jenin several nights ago.
And I see that Ben and Jerry's are back in the news again. And this ice cream saga never seems to end. And we know they're locked in a legal dispute with the holding company Unilever. No, what's happening now?
Well, I don't know about you, but Ben and Jerry's are not just giving me acid reflux, but some steadily developing lactose intolerance to them as well. They don't seem to be able to stay out of the news. So now they're in a legal dispute with their holding company, Unilever. As you know, they disputed the selling of the operation in Israel to Avi Zinger. He's the Israeli manufacturer, and he will continue to manufacture the product and sell under Arabic and Hebrew branding. But of course, Ben and Jerry's, who don't seem to object to any other issues happening in the world, but have major objections to the state of Israel, made that announcement last year that they wouldn't be selling their ice cream to anybody in what they call the occupied territories and East Jerusalem. So now they are engaged in this ongoing matter with Unilever, who said that while Ben and Jerry's do maintain an independent board of directors, they have the rights, they retain the rights as the holding company when it comes to financial and operational decisions to step in, and step in they have. And they reached the deal with Zinger, thanks also to a lot of pressure applied to Ben & Jerry's by several states that enacted their anti-BDS laws. Ben & Jerry's say the selling of their product is inconsistent with their values. However, their values seem to support the rounding up of Uyghurs in concentration camps. Just saying that, putting it out there. So now Ben & Jerry's, who tried to reach an out-of-court settlement with Unilever and weren't successful, have now said that Unilever have failed to pay the director's salaries for the month of July. They believe that that is Unilever putting pressure on Ben & Jerry's. Unilever's CEO also had some choice words for Ben & Jerry's.
Okay, what did he have to say?
Well, he said to them, he said, our advice to you is to stay out of geopolitics. Basically, why don't you stick to what you're good at, which is making and selling ice cream, and maybe getting involved in the odd social justice issues sometime or somewhere near you, but stay out of geopolitical issues. I mean, my opinion is I really prefer it when my ice cream doesn't have an opinion.
I must admit, every time we talk of Ben and Jerry's, I think of Tom and Jerry. And it's, you know, I remember Ben and Jerry's from years ago when I traveled there. But yeah, it's really, really strange. And, Rodine, over the next few weeks, so obviously the first flight, that's flew over Saudi airspace. Now, do we know which flight it was? And what does this essentially mean now going forward for travelers?
Well, this is a historical moment because several weeks ago when President Biden was in Israel, he made the announcement that the Saudis had agreed to open their airspace to any traffic to or from Israel. So this morning, the very, very first flight, cutting down its flying hours significantly, coming in from Hong Kong, a Cathay Pacific flight landed in Tel Aviv. And this really is extraordinary. It really is a seminal moment for Israel and the Saudis. And it does have many benefits. First of all, it cuts down flying times significantly. Second of all, it reduces the fuel costs, which could also reduce the amount you're going to have to pay or shell out for tickets. If you're an Israeli flying to Thailand or India or Australia or New Zealand, and likewise, you know, speaking to Australian friends earlier this week, they said this is such a win for them. It used to take them 24 hours to fly because of all the transits and all the hours and all the this and all the that, and now it cuts that flying time absolutely dramatically.
That's a huge, huge benefit. Do you think we can expect any other countries sort of to do the same now?
Well, rumor has it we could expect Oman to be the next country, but we wait and we watch with bated breath.
And last question for today, do you think this is a sign of a normalization?
We hope that this is a step towards normalization. You know, there were some teasers coming from President Biden when he was here saying, you know, watch the space, big announcements. And we didn't have any major announcements other than the opening of the airspace. But Israel, from our side, when the Prime Minister saw President Biden off at Ben Gurion Airport, he did a short impromptu press conference. He said that, you know, whatever has been worked on behind the scenes could become apparent. And he was very careful. He said, in the next couple of years. And he said, you know, we are approaching any possible normalization very, very carefully, very, very measured and cautious. I think they don't want to jump the gun with everybody saying, well, we have open airspace, that's it, we're normalizing with the Saudis. We understand our region very well. We understand where all the sides are coming from, and this is an area, because we understand the sensitivities, where we will approach carefully and methodically.
Rolene, thank you for the update for today, and have a good weekend. And I'll be chatting to you on Monday afternoon, same time. And that was Rolene Marks with our Israel report.